I just want to thank God for this wonderful time that we have this morning together again in His presence. We are in His presence. We are always in His presence. Now the beautiful thing about coming to the house of the Lord is there is a corporate anointing that becomes available. When you come to the house of the Lord, you bring the Lord in you. The Lord in me meets the Lord in you. You know the story of Mary when she went to meet Elizabeth, John's mother. The Bible says when Mary entered the house and greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says the baby inside Elizabeth jumped. So I must say to you, we carry Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. When you come to the house of the Lord, you bring what? Christ. And as you bring Christ with you, the baby that is inside me. When the baby inside me hears your voice, your salutation, your greeting, your praising God, the baby in me jumps. So, coming to the house of the Lord and fellowship with others, know that you are not just coming to the house of the Lord to be blessed yourself, but you have come as well carrying a blessing, because Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you greet me, when you speak the words of life from the Lord, you speak them to me, the baby inside of me jumps. So we thank God then for the corporate anointing that becomes available when we get together. So that's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together with other believers. It's important for us. Praise the Lord. 2 weeks back, we started a series entitled Lessons from Joseph. And the first lesson that we looked at was the fact that we have a coat of many colors. God's favor is upon us. God is not ashamed to shower us with His love. Let us receive this love because it gives Him pleasure. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. So when we prosper in what we do, when we increase, that gives pleasure to our Father because He wants to bless us. That is what He wants to do for our lives. In every area of our lives, we're not talking financially only, but every area of our lives. And we will see, if we allow the hand of God upon our lives, we'll see this constant increase, this constant improvement. Remember, God is not going to just wham, bring everything at once. But when you look, you will be able to see there is an improvement in my life. My life is getting better and better. The Bible says the way of the righteous becomes brighter and brighter. So this increase, this improvement is going to come in stages. It's not going to come all at once. But in stages, you'll see a change in your life. But this will happen as you expect this to happen in your life. If you do not acknowledge the fact that you have a coat of many colors over your life, unfortunately, you will not experience the favor that the Father has put upon your life. Be aware of the favor of God upon your life. Be aware that God loves you, and because He loves you, He's going to do stuff in your life that will make no sense to other people. They will say, why is she getting this favor? Why is he getting this favor? It's because your Father loves you. It's not because you've done anything good, but it's because your Father loves you. That's the coat of many colors that we have. Praise the Lord. Now today, we are looking at a different lesson from the life of Joseph. Today we are going to talk about looking after your God-inspired dream. God has given you a dream. That dream is going to happen according to God. But you must look after that dream. You are partners with God in this dream. This dream is not going to happen on its own. The manifestation of what God wants to do in your life will not just happen on its own. You have to look after it. Cooperate with God. Allow God. We looked at first the favor of God, which is unmerited. So you do nothing for you to earn this favor from God. So we know then that when God gives you this dream as well, you are not going to bring it to pass in your own strength. God's favor is upon you. So God has declared this dream upon you. He says he will do this for you. So then allow him to do it. This is very important for us to understand. Now, as part of our introduction, I want to say to you, not everything that happened to God's people in the Bible was his will for them. Not everything that happened to God's people in the Bible was his will for them. At times we come quickly to this conclusion to say, it is God's will for me that I go through this. At times it's not true. We are going to look at that. Now, when you look at, for instance, the fall of man, God created Adam and Eve, and he wanted them to multiply and fill the earth. And them falling, do you think that was God's will? It was not God's will. But God gave man a will to choose. And men chose not to listen to God. And then consequences came to men. But it was never God's will. But like in that example, what we see is that God had a plan already of how to rescue his men. So you can make mistakes. You must know that your father already has a plan to rescue you. You may go through some pain because of your decision. It's not your father that brought the pain to you. You made decisions. Those decisions brought pain to you. But know that your father has a plan to rescue you. So it ain't over yet. If your dream has not come to pass, know that it ain't over yet. Your father has a plan to rescue you. Think about Ishmael. Do you think it was God's will for Ishmael to be born? It was never God's will for Ishmael to be born. God gave a dream to Father Abraham, and he said to him, you will have a son, and out of this son you will have many descendants. And what did he do? He said, I will help God. That's the mistake that we do as well, as brethren. We try to help God. God gives us a dream. He says, I have given you this. This is coming your way. And what do? We go our way, all out, to make this thing come to pass. It's not for us to bring that dream to pass. The Father has spoken it. The Father will bring it to pass. Allow him to bring it to pass in his own way. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Otherwise, you may produce an Ishmael. And this Ishmael will be a serious thorn in your flesh. He is going to trouble you seriously. Because you tried to help God. Think about Moses not making it to Canaan. Do you think it was God's will that Moses does not make it to Canaan? Is God that cruel? Is he that bad? It was never God's will that Moses does not make it to Canaan. But Moses made a wrong decision. He decided not to listen to God. And unfortunately, when it comes to Moses, this really cost him. Because he did not walk into Canaan with the children of God. He was not their leader when they went into Canaan, because he did not listen to God. I want you to understand something here. Abraham made many mistakes. The Lord never judged him. Adam made one mistake. He decided not to follow the commandment that God gave to him. The judgment came because he had a command that he was supposed to follow. Because he did not follow it, what came was death, judgment. You look at Abraham, there was no command for Abraham. So Abraham made mistakes. God never ever corrected him. You must think about this. Abraham, firstly, he lied about his wife twice. Not once, twice, to save himself. He said, "This is not my wife, this is my sister." What did God do? Did God punish him? Never. He came out of Egypt with plenty, plenty of livestock. He lies, he becomes prosperous. He lies to Abimelech. He says, "This is not my wife, this is my sister." And God goes to Abimelech. He says to him, "You touch this man's wife, I will kill you, you and your household." Who is at fault here? Can you see what the favor of God can do for you? That's God's favor. This man, he did a lot of other things that were not right. But God never punished him. Why? Because there was no law given to Abraham. And you and I now live in the era where God took away the law. So what it means then is, when we err, God is not going to rebuke you. We have to understand that part. Moses, he had the law. He brought the law to the children of Israel. And when he did not listen to God, it cost him getting into Canaan and living with the children of Israel as their leader. Why? Because there was a law. God does not show favoritism at all. We must always, when we look at God, understand that there are different eras. The Bible tells us that the time between the start of man's life to the time when Moses came into the picture and gave the law, the Bible says there was no law there. And people sinned. God did not punish them, but they lived under the consequences of their sins. They were killed. The Bible says sin reigned at that time and death reigned. So they died for their sins. But it was not like when you would do something and then God had given a law to say, if you do this, this is what is going to come. Death continued to reign even though there was no law. So you must understand as well, now that we're saying we are not longer under the law, it does not mean that we are not going to deal with the consequences for our silly mistakes. You make a mistake, if the consequences of that particular mistake are huge, you will deal with the consequences. But that does not stop God from loving you. And that does not stop God from continuing to bless you. He will continue blessing you even when you are dealing with the consequences of your mistakes. Look at Abraham. He was dealing with the consequences of Ishmael that was born. That did not stop God's blessing for him to bring the son of the promise and have this grow and eventually have the multitudes that we are all today, the children of Abraham. Amen. So the consequences of your silly mistakes, of my silly mistakes, I will have to deal with them. But they do not stop God's blessing over my life. So don't think that because I have erred, I've made a mistake, therefore I cannot access God's blessing. I cannot see the dream of God come to pass. If you will hold on to your dream that God has given to you, that dream is going to come to pass regardless of the mistakes that you have made. Because you make those mistakes and what happens is you repent, isn't it? Then you try, you say, I'm no longer going to make those mistakes anymore. Even though the consequences may follow you, but you're not saying I'm going to live in these mistakes, isn't it? So you move on. You've repented now. You've taken the word of God and you're allowing it to change your life. So God will continue to bless you. Amen. Remember the Bible says the gifts and the calling of the Lord are without repentance. Once God has called you, that calling stands. Once God has given you a dream, that dream stands. And he's not going to change his mind. You can change your mind. He himself, he will never change his mind. So if when you rise up now, you realize that you've made your mistake and then you come back to God, he receives you as if the years that you've squandered do not count. He forgets them. And he walks with you as if you're starting afresh. You start from where you left him. And he works with you and he is going to bring the dream to pass. So, my brother, my sister, you need to look after the dream that God has given to you. We are going through the lessons here right now. The lessons about the life or lessons from the life of Joseph. I want us to understand this part, that God has a dream for each one of us. God will see to it that this dream comes to pass. But we need to cooperate with him. We need to be wise, Bazalwane. We must not sit down and wait for God to do things for us. We need to cooperate with him. As he leads us, he does not lead us by law anymore. He prompts us by his spirit that indwells us. That is how he guides us now. It's not the law anymore. Let's look at this part here. Romans chapter 5 from verse 13 to 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 13 says, yes, people sinned even before the law was given. Alright? But look at the statement. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. When was the law given? The law was given on Mount Sinai. When God gave the law to Moses. So, don't then be confused. How could God treat Abraham with such favor? How could God treat Isaac with such favor? Isaac followed his father's footsteps. He had a beautiful wife as well. And he said, you will say, you are my sister. Exactly what his father did. Did God stop blessing him? No. He continued to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Because there was no law to break. This truth has to come through to the body of Christ. Where we get to understand the word of God, we break it down, we break it apart, and we understand why, what is happening, and you know, we need to know exactly. Otherwise, we'll be confused. We'll say, God has got his favorite people. That is why people come to a point where they think pastors have got special favor from the Lord. No. They don't have special favor. We are the same. All of us before God, we are equal. We are equal before God. Some people have had time to meditate on the word of God, and the word of God then is producing for their lives. If you can spend the same time as well in the word of God and you search the word of God, because you are renewing your mind, you will see a change in your life. Of course, if you go then to a person who has already renewed his mind about something and you ask that person to pray for you, you then can access the anointing that is resting upon that person. But that's a special gift. that then operates in your life, because this person has got the revelation of this message now, then they can pray for you and you'll receive that blessing. But understand that it is temporal if you are not going to then work on your mind, to renew your mind, to come to a point where you understand that. That's why you find people going to a healing crusade, and they have a man that God has called into a healing ministry. The man of God prays for them. They get healed. And some of them, by the time they leave, the sickness is back. Others, days. Others, months. The sickness comes back to them. Why? Because they received the anointing from the man of God that prayed for them. They did not learn the importance of maintaining that blessing by renewing their minds to have faith and believe that this came from God. God bless me with this. This is mine and the devil cannot steal it from me. They have not done that part, and then they lose the blessing. It's not that that particular man does not have a lasting anointing. If you were to live with that man and he continues to pray with you and he shares the word of God with you, you would continue to live healthy. But because now you've left that man, you're on your own now, you are allowing voices to come to you, to bring doubt to you. What happens is you will then lose the gift that God had given to you, because it was never your revelation. Praise the Lord. Let's continue here. Still everyone died, even though there was no law given. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins. You may be guilty of many sins, but you are still right before God. You may have failed many times, but you are still right from God. Therefore, your dream will come to pass if you hold on to it. Don't think that I've messed up so much, I don't deserve that this dream comes to pass anymore. You are allowing the devil to rob you of your dream. So your mistakes should never ever rob you of your dream. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. The Amplified Bible, it says, we reign as kings through this one man. Praise the Lord. We reign as kings through this one man. Our reigning as kings is because of what Jesus Christ did for us. It is not because we don't have many sins. It is not because we live a separated life. So what am I trying to do today? I'm trying to say to you, don't look at your life and say, look at my mistakes. I have done this wrong. I have done that wrong. Therefore, I don't deserve God's favor. No, that's the devil speaking to you. He's trying to rob you of what is rightfully yours. Do not allow him. Don't stand before God in your righteousness. Your righteousness is not enough. Don't think that God will bless you because of your righteousness, your righteous doing. Don't think of that. God is not going to bless you because you've done anything. God has blessed you already. Ephesians chapter 1. He has already blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places. He has already, it's in the past tense. It's done already. So it's not that God is still going to bless you. You are blessed. So what has to happen is now you have to receive the blessing. Now, how do you receive this blessing? This verse 17 says, you receive this blessing through Christ because of what Christ did for you, not what you do yourself. So when you go to God and you receive the manifestation of your dream, it's not because you've prayed 11 hours. It's not because you've fasted for 40 days. It's not because of what you've done. It's because of what Christ has made available for you. You will reign in life as a king through this one man, Christ Jesus. Don't allow the devil to steal your dream from you. Because he comes to you and he points at your failures. Remember, brother, you are not perfect as yet. You have not arrived. You will still make mistakes. But I'm telling you, give yourself 2 months from today. You will see, you won't be making the same mistakes. Because the Holy Spirit is working in you. Have faith in the Holy Spirit that is working in you. As you behold the glory of the Lord, you are changed into the same image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. As you behold the glory of the Lord, you are changed into the same image. So don't look at where you are. God does not look at you. He looks at Christ. And when you go to God and you say, in the name of Jesus, Father, I receive this, God, the Father gives it to you. It does not say, you don't deserve it. You have not arrived. You're not where I want you to be. Understand, God has got a dream for your life. And this dream is going to come to pass. You have to look after it. Look after this dream. Today I want to show you what are some of the things that we need to look at. One of them already that I've shown you now is that don't look at yourself. Don't look at what you are doing. Look at Christ. That's the first way of protecting your dream. Your dream will not come to pass because of what you've done yourself. Your dream will come to pass because of Christ. You will reign in life as a king through this one man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the first thing that I want to say to you. And understand that you're treated differently by God because you are in Christ. Just summarize this part here with this verse 18. It says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. That's another thing. You were not condemned because of your sins. You were condemned by the sin of Adam. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. You know, I so love 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17. It talks about the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sin to them. The world, people who have not come to know God, he was not imputing their sin to them. Now that you are in Christ, you are a child of God, you think God is still imputing your sins to you. God is still imputing your mistakes to you. Live a free life from condemnation. Be free from condemnation. Don't allow the devil to bring condemnation over your life. That is what the devil does. God does not look at you like that. He doesn't care about your mistakes. God is bigger than your mistakes. He is bigger than your mistakes. So don't allow your mistakes to stop you from getting where you're supposed to be. Look at that and say, "Esh, That was it. Sorry. I'm not done yet. I'm still work in progress. God is not done with me. And move on. And you will see, if you don't dwell on that mistake, next time, you will not make the same mistake. Because you did not allow that mistake to fill your mind. The devil plays with our minds. He brings condemnation. And eventually, he builds a stronghold in our minds. And we start living under that condemnation. And eventually, we will fall under depression. He's got a stronghold in your mind. Once he brings it to depression, he's got a stronghold in your mind. But once you understand how God looks at you, we could have made 2017 mistakes. 2017, they mean nothing to God. Nothing. Of course, you will deal with the consequences. I'm not saying you won't deal with the consequences. You will definitely deal with the consequences. You make stupid mistakes, you'll bring the consequences to yourself. So allow then the Lord to help you not to make those silly mistakes. And God will progressively help you to become more and more like who He has called you to be. He's not going to get it done in one day. Let's go back to our introduction. This is still the introduction. We have not spoken about Joseph yet. Am I right? The interesting thing is the introduction this day is longer than the real message. Because the real message will be continued next week. Alright? So this introduction is very long. Let's continue. So what we are saying is then, not everything that happened to Joseph was God's plan for his life. God did not rebuke him for wrong decisions, just like we've read in the book of Romans. Just like he did not rebuke who? Abraham. He did not rebuke who? Isaac. He did not rebuke Jacob, the supplanter. God did not rebuke him for stealing his brother's birthright. God did not rebuke him, but he suffered the consequences. He had to run out of his father's house. Do you think that was God's plan? I say, this is where I wanted to come to. Brothers and sisters, God has a dream for us. When God says, this is the dream that I have for you, don't try to help him. This is the message today. Don't try to help God. Allow God to bring his dream for you to pass on his own. Follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 7 verse 6. We have been delivered from the law now. We don't follow the law now, but we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible puts that verse so well. So don't think that Abraham having to deal with Ishmael, that was God's will for Abraham. No, it was not. Isaac had his issues as well. It was not God's will that he suffered all what he suffered. The same as Jacob. But these three guys that I've just mentioned here, they lived in an era where the law was not applicable. Just like Romans chapter 5 verse 13 says. Therefore God did not rebuke them for their sins. They still dealt with the consequences of their mistakes. But God's blessing continued to just flow as if nothing had happened. That is what is happening in your life. God is blessing you today, not because you are a good person, because you come to church, because you pray, because you do that. God blessed you in Christ long time ago. You now access God's blessings because now you can hear the voice of God better. Now that you go to church, you're learning to hear in the word of God. You spend time with God in prayer. You're becoming sensitive to God. You spend time with God in fasting. You put the flesh down to allow the spirit to come out and express himself as he wants to. Now that you hear God better, then when God says, do this, you just find yourself doing the right things. And then as you do the right things, what is happening? Then the blessing of God is manifesting. It's not that you doing those things caused the blessing to come to your life. You were blessed in Christ. So don't try to beg God for your blessings. Receive your blessings. And as you receive your blessings, forget about your mistakes. God is not looking at that. I know this word is changing your life. If you're listening. If you're not listening, ask kiss. I feel for you. Let's look at this man of God, Joseph. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. We're going to read verses 5 to 11 only today. We can't go further than this. Let's start with verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Why did they hate him even more? Firstly, verse 4 tells us that the father loved him so much because he was the child of his old age. And then what did he eventually do? He then eventually gave him a coat of many colors. So the father, loving Joseph, made Joseph to experience the hatred from his brothers. So they were jealous of how much he was loved by the father. But this man of God, he receives the dream from the father, from God, of what was going to happen with his life. And then he goes to his brothers, who do not love him. He tells them of his dream. He says, this is how he tells them, look at this, verse 6. So he said to them, please, listen, hear the dream which I have dreamed. He goes to people who do not love him. People who do not like him. He tells them his dream. Okay, let's hear what happened. Verse 7, he's telling the dream. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Ooh. He is telling people who do not like him. That is what Christians do. We go around telling people about the dream that God has given to us. And as we tell them, we get surprised when people react. And all of a sudden they don't look at you. They don't want to talk to you. They separate themselves from you. They start spreading lies about you. And you wonder, what have I done wrong? It's because you told the wrong people about your dream. Remember, we said not everything that happened to Joseph was God's will for his life. Therefore, we can learn from his life. Protect your dream. Don't share your dream with everybody that you come across. Verse 8. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more. Even more for his dreams and for his words. He just made things worse for himself. Because he decided to be Mr. Big Mouth, boastful, telling people about his dream. Verse 9. Then he dreamed still another dream. This is wonderful. God is making a point here. And he told it to his brother again. Oh, this man does not learn. Remember, not everything that happened to Joseph was God's will for his life. So don't take it that because it's written in the Bible, therefore that was God's plan for his life. He suffered the consequences. Do you think God was going to be limited to using the hatred of his brothers to bring him to the throne in Egypt? Do you think God was limited to that? God was not limited to that. God could do it in another way. But because he decided to share his dream with people that hated him already, they realized that, okay, the best thing that we can do, we must stop these dreams of him. We cannot have him reign over us. We cannot. So what are we going to do? Let's kill him. That was their first resolution. And then the brother came, the big brother came and said, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. Let him die there. Then we won't have his blood in our hands. And then the Ishmaelites were coming and they said, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. At least he's no longer with us. He's out of our family. He definitely is no longer going to reign over us. But I'm telling you, him with his big mouth brought some of the pain that he felt. Okay, he told the dream to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? Just think about it. Was it necessary for him to tell them the dreams? Was it really necessary? Don't try to help God. There is nowhere where the Bible says God made him tell them his dream. We see this boy, actually, he was loved. He enjoyed the love and the favor from the father. And to a certain extent, he was a bit spoiled. And so to him, it was also very easy for him to go and tell people about, oh, he enjoyed this attention as well. And maybe he thought it could help him if he tells them that one day he will rule over them. Verse 11. And his brothers envied him. Can you see what he's doing? It's just making his issue, the issue between him and his brothers, just to become worse and worse. They envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now this is nice. The father rebuked him. What is this? But remember, his father was his mentor. So his father was going to enable the dream to come to pass. So he was willing to do whatever to do to help his son become whatever that God had called him to be. He was loving on the son. So your mentor may not understand the dream that God has given to you. But a true mentor will not stop enabling you to achieve your dream. He may not understand what you're called to do, but he is going to enable you to get where you're supposed to be. So he's still going to support you, even though he does not understand what is it that you're called to. Let's look at the lessons in closing now. Lesson number one, the one thing that we see, is that this man was consumed by his dreams. He could see himself. And that is the reason why he thought perhaps he could even go and tell his father and his brothers about this dream. There's nothing wrong about you being consumed by your dream. I'll show you next week how important it is that you should be consumed by your dream. But I'll show you the right way. How we should be consumed by our dream. Let us not be consumed by it and we start doing what our brother Joseph here decided to do. Lesson number two. Understand that not everybody will celebrate your dream. When you start telling people about your dream, it's not everybody that will be there to celebrate with you. You can even lose some friends. Number three, even though your dream is to be a blessing, some people may be blinded by jealousy, pride, in security, etc. And then they will try to stop your dream. These brothers tried to stop the dreams that their brother told them of. So they thought, let us stop this man from becoming the ruler that he's supposed to be. He was going to be a blessing to them, but they did not understand them. They were jealous of him. They envied him. They were insecure of their stand. And because of that, unfortunately, they tried to stop him. And the last lesson for today is, you can share your dream with your partner. Your partner here, I'm talking about a person that is willing to stand with you, to assist you any way that God has called them to bring this dream to pass. So it may be your leader, a person that God has called to be your guide, to be your mentor in life. This person is going to, what will this person do? He is going to enable you. A mentor is a person that has gone before you and the path that you still have to follow yourself. So this person has been through that. So he understands what you need to do for you to get where you need to go to. So you can share your dream then with that. That person is a partner when it comes to your dream. You can share it with them. At least then they understand how they can assist you, how to get to where you need to get to. All right? But don't share it with everybody. God will bring to your life people that he has prepared to assist you to achieve your dream. Then the Bible says, now what? It says, write down the vision so that they that see it will be able to run with it. That's Habakkuk chapter 2. Find people that God has called to be partners with you in the dream that he has given to you. You need to share the dream with them, share the vision, so that they will be able to understand what is it that God has called them to do to bring the dream to pass. Still, don't share the dream with everybody. That is why then, once you have a dream, you will know who is it that you can share it with. And as the Lord leads you as well, that's another thing. Allow the Lord to lead you. If you don't feel at ease about something, even though it is right, don't share it, because the time may be wrong. You may have a dream, but it's not the right time for you to share that dream with your mentor. Keep it to yourself. Pray about it. Trust God to say to you, now it's the right time to share this with your mentor. Then you go to your mentor and you share that. God has already prepared your mentor. And when you share it with them, they will say, I've been through this road. I can share one or two things with you that can assist you. And then what will they do then? They will start assisting you. And once you start with your dream, on your journey now, you'll come across people in your life. And as you come across people in your life, some of those people have been called by God, anointed by God, to assist you to bring your dream to pass. If you don't share your dream with them, your dream will be hampered. It will be delayed. So in other words, write down the vision for those people that God has called to come and partner with you. Let them know what you want to achieve. And then they will help you to carry this dream with you. So we're saying, lesson number 4, you can share your dream with your partner. He or she may not understand it, but they will not stop enabling you to see it come to pass. And Bazalane, that was the message for today. Look after your God-inspired dream. You'll see, as you look after it, I can tell you, God will see to it that it comes to pass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.